Hello and welcome to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. We're going to continue this morning looking at moral issues for us today. We've been looking at various moral issues that go on in the world that many people engage in, and they think that they're perfectly fine when in fact the Word of God is against these very things. We've looked at homosexuality and fornication, pornography, divorce, lasciviousness, immodesty, intoxication. And we have found that God's Word is against these things, even though they are popular in our society and even legalized in some states. And so we have to ask ourselves, do we want to go by God's Word or by what we find out in society? And it's a shame that so many people today are not being raised on the Bible, the Word of God. They don't have a moral compass. They don't have a moral North Star to give them direction each and every day. They just simply have the words of man. And we find that so many people today are secular and worldly. They're not being raised on the Word of God. And so on the Let the Bible Speak program, I'm trying to get us back to what God's Word says about these moral and ethical matters. And I hope that that will be helpful to you today as we look at these kinds of things. I'm going to look at four more items today: drug abuse, profanity, gambling, and violence. So let's get started this morning on the program looking at the matter of drug abuse. You know, there are more and more states that are legalizing drugs. And I want to be very clear that I'm not talking about a proper use of drugs to help us with a proper health issue or medical issue. I'm not opposed to that, of course. What we're talking about this morning is the illegal use or the use of drugs to get us to feel a certain way that is not a medical or health issue. And when that is taking place, it actually violates the Word of God. One place in 1 Timothy 5, Paul tells Timothy to take a little wine for his stomach's sake. Here we find alcohol being used in a very limited way to help out with a stomach problem. So we conclude from that the medical use of drugs is fine. We're talking about the illegal use and abuse of these kinds of things. And more states are legalizing the recreational use of marijuana, for example. And that's a shame. And what we're finding is that more and more people want to emphasize the word benefit, the medical benefit of this particular drug, or the medical benefit of alcohol, or the medical benefits of marijuana. And what we find here is that they are upplaying the so-called benefit and downplaying the simultaneous problems that come with it. And it's the problems that we're looking at. Everybody wants to focus on the benefit and nobody wants to talk about the problem. And it's simultaneous. And so what are we talking about when we talk about drug abuse? Well, there are some principles that are violated in the Word of God. You're not going to find anywhere in the Bible, thou shalt not take drugs. You're not going to find that. But what you find is that there are principles, and drug abuse violates those principles. And we have to be mature enough to say, I don't need to do something if it violates a principle. Some people, even religious people, even church-going people, and maybe even some in churches of Christ, their approach to these types of things is this: unless I have a thou shalt not, I can go ahead and do it. Well, you're not going to have a thou shalt not on abortion, for example. So can you go ahead and do that? You're not going to have a thou shalt not on drug abuse. You're not going to have a thou shalt not on gambling and that type of thing. Thou shalt not euthanize old people. You're not going to have a thou shalt not on that. Is it okay to do that? Thou shalt not be an atheist. I mean, you don't have anything like that. So is it okay to be an atheist? You've got to go by other principles as well. There are thou shalt nots in the Bible, clearly. But we have to go and follow other principles. And drug abuse, for example, violates the principle of self-control in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 23. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And we're not in control of our mind and our body when we allow the abuse of drugs to take over. That's the whole point. Many people take drugs, and alcohol is a drug. Nicotine is a drug. And they do these things because they want the effect of a clouded mind. They want to escape what normally is going on. They want a break from regular mental and bodily activity. That's the whole point. They don't want to be in control, even if it's just for a brief moment. It violates self-control, Galatians 5:23. Number two, it violates sober-mindedness. Again, that's the whole point of many of these drugs. It alters the mind, and that's what people want. Now, later, they want to come back to a sober mind when it comes time where they have to go to work or go to school or be responsible in some kind of way. Well, we need a clear mind. But for a point in my life, whether I'm by myself or with others, I want this so-called recreational mind that is clouded. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 6, we're to be sober-minded. In fact, if you start back at verse 1, three times in six verses, sober-minded is mentioned. You would get the idea that it's pretty important. Sober-minded is clear-headed thinking, and that's the way we're to be. And there is an exception when it comes to the medical use to help us get better. I've been on anesthesia before. Well, clearly, my mind wasn't sober. That's the whole point of that, to block the surgery and that type of the pain that comes along with that. But we're not talking about that when we're talking about legalizing marijuana for recreational use and just drinking alcohol for its effects and that type of thing. So it violates self-control. It violates sober-mindedness. And number three, it violates the principle that we're to use our bodies to glorify God, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Glorify God, therefore, in your body. We can't do that when we're pouring stuff in it and pumping stuff into it and pushing stuff into it that harms the body. We just need to be honest. What little benefit we think we're getting from such and such, we're harming our body. We're killing brain cells. We're killing things that are in our body. We're destroying our liver with alcohol and other kinds of things. And so many people that want to do something like this, they upplay the alleged benefit and they downplay the obvious problems, even problems that are mentioned by non-religious medical and scientific individuals, the problems associated with drugs and alcohol, and even small amounts of alcohol. Studies have shown recently that aren't put out by cranky old preachers, studies that are put out by scientists and those in the medical community, and I have the material if you want it, showing that even small amounts of alcohol on a regular basis increase problems in the body. And so we need to just simply come clean with these kinds of things. But yet we find that drug abuse is on the comeback. It was popular 40, 50 years ago. It kind of went away for a little while, and it has come back again in a popular way. And now we have more and more states legalizing marijuana and things like that. It's a slippery slope. We just add more and more all the time. Don't engage in that kind of thing. Number two, profanity and vulgarity. You hear it everywhere. We're supposed to guard our tongues. We're to keep our tongue and guard it, Proverbs 21 and 23. Sinning with the tongue is one of the easiest sins to commit. James tells us that the tongue is a small but very destructive member of the body, James chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. And the tongue can be used for good. Life and death are in the tongue, Proverbs 18:21. We can use it for good or we can use it for bad. James 3, 9 through 11. We can either bless God or curse God with it. And so how are we going to use our tongue? And yet we hear it every day. We hear it at work. We hear it at school. Profanity, vulgarity. It's a sin. To take God's name in vain is a violation of one of the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament, Exodus 20 and verse 7. We're to hallow God's name, Matthew 6 and verse 9. We're not to sin with our tongue, Romans 3, 14 and James 3, 10. Not to curse God. Even idle words will be judged, Matthew 12, verse 36. And so we have to stay away from that. And even though it's popular in music, movies, books, internet, everywhere. There are work environments where it's popular. Maybe soldiers, you know, cussing. We used to have the expression, cuss like a sailor. Different environments may encourage it. But that doesn't make it right. Just because people around us are doing it and it's popular doesn't make something right. And we need to be very much mindful of that kind of thing. So it could be profanity, taking God's name in vain, various cuss words, swearing, vulgarity, sexual innuendo, filthy or foolish talk, euphemisms, which I call profanity lookalikes, where we get close to saying the wrong thing just to be cool, but we don't want to actually say it. So instead of saying God, we might say gosh, or instead of saying damn, we might say darn, or instead of hell, we might say heck, or something like that. So let's just see how close we can get to that which is wrong. We're to put away any corrupt speech. Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, Ephesians 4:29. If these types of things that I've just mentioned are not corrupt speech, I'm not sure what would be. Let no shameful speech come out of our mouth, Colossians 3, verse 8. We could add to that gossip, lying, slander, words that come from anger, blasphemy, mocking, false flattery, boasting or bragging, unjust criticism, murmuring, complaining. The list goes on and on. It's very easy to sin with the tongue, and we find it all the time around us in our world. It's not just the politicians who do it. It's not just the sports figures who do it. It's not just the Hollywood figures who do it. It's not just the cool people who do it. It's everywhere. And children are learning it from their parents and the environments that they're in. And now you've got kindergartners at school that cuss like a sailor. And they're getting it from their home environment. So we can do better. And we can clean up our mouth and we can speak right and speak well. We are to speak in such a way that edifies and that builds up. And so the opposite of this corrupt speech would be what Paul writes about in the same verse, Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but such as is good for edifying, as the need may be, that it may give grace, blessing to them that hear. That's the kind of way we need to talk. And so we can avoid it if we want. Think twice, speak once. Let's avoid this kind of language. And one thing we can do is keep our hearts pure, because out of our heart comes language that is improper. So with a clean heart, we can have a clean tongue. Our tongue, our words, will either commend us or condemn us in the judgment day. The choice is yours. Matthew 12, 36 through 37. Let's speak in such a way that our words will commend us in that day and not condemn us. Well, that brings us to another matter, and that is the matter of gambling. You know, gambling, like drug abuse, is like drugs, is being promoted in our society, like pot and marijuana. It's being legalized. It's hard to remember back to January of 2004, but if I'm not mistaken, it was around that time that the state of Tennessee legalized gambling for the first time. And more states do it because they know that it's a money maker. It's a way to bring in money to the coffers. And so we don't care about the lives that it destroys. We don't care about the addictions that it causes. And in these states with legalized gambling, you'll see the billboards along the highway that, you know, 1-800 such and such, you know, addiction hotline for gambling. And you can say gamble responsibly. You can say drink responsibly and so forth. But that doesn't exonerate you in any way. And that doesn't excuse you in any way of being in the direct line of causing people the problems that people have in their lives. You know, gambling is justified by many. Anytime that people want to do these things that we're talking about, and all of these things people justify and they give excuses for and quote-unquote reasons, even members of the church, even members of Churches of Christ do these things that we've been talking about, and they've all got their reasons why it's fine. And when it comes to gambling, they'll say, well, it's just a game and that type of thing, and they downplay. They don't really represent what's actually going on. They make it sound like it's something, you know, far more innocuous or, you know, not harmful at all. It is a game, and it's a game that involves money or some other stake or wager. We can bet a lot of different things. But gambling has four basic elements that make it gambling, and we need to understand those things. But a lot of times people say, well, you know, life is a gamble. Anytime you get in your car, anytime you walk across the street, you know, with traffic coming, and anytime you get up and go to work, you know, life is a gamble. Well, that's not actually representing life or gambling properly. Gambling is different. There are at least four elements that make it gambling. Number one, a wager or a stake. There is some sort of a bet involved, and you don't have that in life. Number two, a profit from someone else's loss. You're hoping somebody else is going to lose when you're sitting at that poker table and that you're going to win. You profit from somebody else's loss. You don't have that in life. And number three, a predetermined, pre-selected, pre-existing chance that is built in mathematically. And number four that goes along with that, an arbitrary man-made determination of that chance. That's why when it comes to the lottery and things like that, they'll say you have 1 in 2.5 million chances of winning this. It's mathematically determined based upon the numbers, the number of people playing, the number of numbers on the lottery tickets, the number of tickets that are sold. There's all of these mathematical numbers that are put together into equations where you can determine what is going on here. That's not life. That's not life. No, life is not gambling. There are risks that we take when we get in our car and when we cross the street and when we go to work and when we go to the grocery store with the virus going around and things like that. You take risks. Life is all about risks. Gambling is different. It is a game that has these four elements that make it stand apart from these other things. And a lot of times people will say, well, you know, buying insurance, that's gambling. You know, you don't know if your house is going to burn down or not, or you don't know if the tornado is going to take your roof off or not. Again, buying insurance is buying a service that takes care of you when and if you need it. Gambling is different from that. Insurance does not have a wager or a stake, profiting from someone else's loss, predetermined chance, or an arbitrary determination of that chance. You know, gambling is legal and it's popular and it's actually very ancient. It goes way back. It's fun, but it's not by the word of God. You're not going to find a thou shalt not gamble, but like drug abuse, it violates biblical principles. I'll just name a few. It violates the principle of setting the right example, Matthew 5, 13 through 16. It violates the golden rule to treat others the way you want to be treated, Matthew 7, verse 12. It violates good stewardship of your money. You're just wasting it and throwing it away, Luke 16, 1 and following. It violates the principle of love, 1 Corinthians 3, 5, where you're looking out for the good of others. It violates doing good, Galatians 6 and verse 10. It violates the work principle. We can get money by someone giving us a gift. We find that in the Bible. We can get money by interest and putting our money to the bank. We find that in the Bible. And we can get money through work, Ephesians 4:28, 1 Thessalonians 4:11. But we don't find this idea of trying to hit it big and, you know, win the lottery and get a lot of money by profiting from somebody else's loss. We don't find that in the Bible. Gambling also promotes a number of evils that are contrary to biblical principles. Unjust gain, Proverbs 15:27. Temptation, Matthew 6:13. A stumbling block to others, Matthew 18:6. Lack of self-control, 1 Corinthians 6:12. Stealing, Ephesians 4:28. Fear and worry, Philippians 4:6. Covetousness, Colossians 3:5. Selfishness, Philippians 2:3. And the evil fruits that are surrounding the game of gambling, 1 Timothy 6:6 through 10. So there's a lot more that could be talked about there, but we don't need to be profiting from somebody else's loss. It's addictive. Don't even start. A gambling addiction gets started with just one small wager, just like one small drink of alcohol, one drug, one cigarette, one look at pornography. It's addictive, and there you go. You're hooked on it, and it causes problems. And then, last of all, before we close this morning, I wanted to talk about the matter of violence. You know, violence is everywhere. There's always been violence from the days of Cain and Abel, where Cain killed his brother Abel, down through time until today, and I guess there always will be. But we find more and more with regard, for example, to gun violence today, and we hear a lot about that. Violence is a sin. The earth was filled with violence when God destroyed the earth with a flood, Genesis 6, 11 and 13. And it is wrong. And it's portrayed everywhere. Where you hurt someone else, you kill someone else, you dominate someone else, it's portrayed in our music, TV, movies, especially some video games. The internet continues to portray violence in a way, often violence against women as well, in a very positive way, and that's unfortunate. Violence in our schools increases. I'm told that America has the third highest amount of violent crimes in all the industrialized nations. And so we need to control that. We need to treat others the way we want to be treated. I talked about the golden rule earlier with gambling, Matthew 7, verse 12. Treat others the way we want to be treated. We have terrorism that comes as a result of some religious ideologies, such as jihadist Islam and other kinds of terrorism, carjackings, gang violence, organized anarchy, school shootings, bank shootings, mass shootings, attacks and assaults, domestic violence on a spouse or an infant or a child or the elderly. It goes on and on and on. Why are people violent? Their heart and their thoughts are corrupt. That's what we read in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, 11 and 13. That's why God destroyed the people in part. Violence begins in the heart. Mark chapter 7, verses 21 through 22. Evil thoughts. The mankind is corrupt, and we don't have a value for our fellow man. We don't believe and understand that we're made in the image of God. Genesis 1, 26 through 27. Genesis 9, 6. We're made in the image of God, and we're not to take someone else's life. the Bible, God allows for what we might call capital punishment in both the Old Testament and in the New Testament. But this is different. This is murder. And in Romans chapter 1 and verse 30 in the New King James, the word violent is mentioned there. I wanted to read Romans chapter 1 and verse 30, if you want to turn with me over there. Backbiters, hateful to God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Instead of insolent, violent. And we've got to understand that this is wrong. People need to control their emotions. Cain was told to rule over his emotions. Sin couches at the door, and do you rule over it? Genesis 4, 5 through 8. Emotions can be controlled, and much violence comes from emotions that are out of control. Anger, hatred, jealousy, envy, pride, stress are often not controlled. Cain killed his brother Abel, and he was evil. 1 John 4, 11 through 12. So their heart and their thoughts are corrupt. Number two, their emotions are not kept in control. And number three, their minds and lives are fed with violence. As a man thinketh, so is he. We're to guard our heart because out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 4:17. And so we become what we feed on. We become what we feed on. Also read Proverbs 4:23. What we're putting into our mind controls our thinking. Garbage in, garbage out. Maybe you've heard that. And so America has changed and violence is glamorized. Violence is fueled by music and sports, internet, video games, television and movies, friends, drugs, alcohol. We've got to address these things. And the answer, no. The answer is not found in stricter gun control. A gun by itself never hurt anyone. We need stricter mind control. Having our minds controlled by the Word of God. Everybody wants to take guns away. A gun by itself never hurt anyone. We've got to change our thinking in our hearts and our minds. Well, friends, I'm glad that you've joined us on the program this morning. Drug abuse, profanity, gambling, violence, it's everywhere. It's popularized and promoted and encouraged in our world. But let's have an attitude of staying away from these things and following the Word of God. What's important is what God says in His Word. To be pleasing to God is more important than to be pleasing to our fellow man. I'm glad that you've joined us today on the program. Join us again next week, and I hope that you will have a good day.